This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Hour, the British government says it's considering deploying the military to deal with the disruptions caused by planned strikes. Hamas says its missile response to Israeli airstrikes in Gaza shows the Palestinian resistance will not allow Tel Aviv to change regional equations. Gunmen kill a dozen worshippers and kidnap several others from a mosque in Nigeria's northern state of Katsina. Thanks for joining us. The British government is considering seeking the military's help during planned strikes, including by the National Health Service. The Conservative Party chairman says the government wants minimal disruption to key public services. For months now, Britain has been witnessing back-to-back strikes across different sectors. The action has spread to the health sector, with nurses in England and ambulance workers and in Wales planning to stop work later this month. Under pressure, the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is reportedly even considering plans to curb the rights to strike. Britain's woes are part of the wider economic crisis in Europe. The situation has been triggered by the inflation and surging energy prices that came on the heels of Western sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine. Our correspondent in London, Rob Carter, joined us earlier with more details on the strikes in the UK and how the new government is handling it.
You know, things like inflation are on the rise, cost of living, things are more expensive now, and people in many sectors feel as if their wages are not increasing in order to keep up with inflation, with price demands. So public sectors, especially like the NHS, are basically feeling the real squeeze. Their pockets are being pinched very much so, and they feel that they have been there during the hardest times, like, for example, during the COVID lockdown period, the pandemic. They were serving on the front lines trying to keep people alive during that horrific episode. And what they're essentially rather being rewarded for their dedication and their hard work, they're actually, in their mind, being punished with a lack of support from the government to help get them through this economic crisis, to help basically give them a wage that they can live off of. That's quite frankly it. There are other issues as well, and they're talking about now curbing the rights of people to protest, especially in the public services, because they have a lot of power to shut things down at a time when the government is already trying to push through controversial policies, controversial new laws, controversial new taxes on the horizon, that type of thing. And obviously, if the country just stops working, that proves to be devastating for this new government led by the relatively new Prime Minister Rishi Sunak.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas condemns Israel's latest attack on the Gaza Strip, saying that it has responded with missile fire. The movement says the regime will never succeed in hindering the Palestinian struggle with its terrorist and Nazi behavior. Hamas says that it will not allow Tel Aviv to tip the balance in its favor by committing such atrocities. Rather, it will continue to protect the Palestinian people and will uphold resistance against the occupation regime. Israeli warplanes attacked the Gaza Strip late on Saturday, causing damage to homes and several facilities in Khan Yunis and Rafah. The regime says the strikes were in response to rocket fire from the territory. Earlier we were joined by our correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon, for more on the latest Israeli airstrikes on the besieged Strip.
Then Israeli fighter jets attacked Hamas security posts east of the southern Gaza Strip town of Rafah and west of the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis because of extensive damage to those locations. While Hamas sources said that the attack targeted farmlands, the Israeli regime claims that they attacked that the rockets targeted military tunnels and training center, as well as arms manufacturing areas in southern Gaza. The Israeli regime claims that the airstrikes were retaliation for area fire that was fired from the Gaza Strip, although no one has claimed responsibility for firing such a rocket. While Israeli media was saying that those who fired the rocket were members of the Islamic Jihad's military wing, Al-Quds Brigades, in retaliation for the brutal killing of a young man in the occupied West Bank city of Nablus by an Israeli soldier.
Palestinian activists and social media users are calling for a response to the Israeli killings and crimes committed against them. They are demanding that Palestinians step up their resistance and fight against the occupation. A campaign has been launched in reaction to footage emerging of an Israeli soldier shooting a 23-year-old Palestinian four times at point-blank range at a checkpoint in Nablus. He was left bleeding to death while Israeli forces prevented medics from reaching him. Reacting to the incident, the UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process has called for those responsible to be held accountable. Tor Wennesland says an immediate investigation should be conducted into the Israeli killings of Palestinians. Our correspondent Mona Kandil says Israeli troops are under orders by their military commanders to shoot and kill Palestinians.
Everyone knows very well, not only the Palestinians, the European Union, the international community, know very well that Israeli soldiers are using their guns to shoot and kill people. They have clear orders from the Israeli military establishment, knowing at the end of the day, none of the Israeli forces who commit crimes against unarmed people would be tried or would be taken to court to achieve justice. That's why if the Israelis continue and go on with this policy, then they themselves would be dragging the whole area to another circle of violence, returning back to, let's say, another form of an armed uprising, not only a popular intifada.
The Persian Gulf island of Bahrain is hosting the Israeli president, the first time that that has happened in Bahrain's history. As much as Israel would like to show that its relations with Persian Gulf Arab countries is flourishing, their citizens are vehemently against the normalization of ties and have vowed to never recognize Israel.
Protesters in the Persian Gulf island of Bahrain. They're chanting death to Israel. Their reason, the Israeli President Isaac Herzog was visiting the Persian Gulf island, the first Israeli president visiting Bahrain. The day before, protesters carried signs with Herzog's image that said criminal and you are not welcome in Bahrain. Opposition activists launched a campaign on social media, speaking out against normalization with Israel. But why was Herzog visiting Bahrain in the first place? And why was there such opposition to his visit? As for the reason of his visit, it was at the invitation of King Hamad bin Isa al-Khalifa. It is reported that he will meet with members of the local Jewish community and senior government officials. He will also lead a group of Israeli business people to meet with the Bahraini Economic Development Board. But these things could be done by other officials from Israel. It wouldn't need the Israeli president to make a trip to Bahrain for that, unless there are other reasons for the visit. For starters, Israel needs to maintain a high-profile presence when it comes to its relationship with Persian Gulf Arab leaders. This is crucial for Israel as part of the so-called normalization process. Israel normalized ties with the UAE and Bahrain in 2020 as part of the U.S.-brokered Abraham Accords. The agreement paved the way for the normalization with Morocco months later. But the U.S.-led process has not taken off quite the way the U.S. and Israel intended to. For although the leaders of Israel and UAE and Bahrain may have gotten closer, the population of these Arab countries have displayed anger and animosity towards Israel, as was evidenced in the World Cup in Qatar. The reason for this amount of anger toward Israel is very clear. Palestine and Palestinians.
What is this?
Israel Channel. You don't like us?
You are not welcome here. There is only Palestine. There is no train.
Israel's continued repression and violation of Palestinian rights throughout the decades has been met with some Arab leaders engaging with Israel through the so-called Abraham Accords. For their citizens, this is unacceptable and a betrayal of the Palestinian cause. It appears that the Abraham Accords have become a substitute for improving the lives of Palestinians.
Well, the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan are the countries that have normalized ties with Israel. Jordan did so prior to the Abraham Accords. At the same time, there are 28 UN members that do not recognize Israel. There are speculations that such normalization of ties may have come with strings attached and as a result of U.S. pressure on these countries.
Bahrain has been experiencing an uprising since the beginning of 2011, although the island itself has seen government opposition due to the marginalization of the Shia population itself. Since the uprising, which has continued until this day, the government has been relentless in violating the rights on a vast number of issues. Torture, illegal detentions, sham trials, and death sentences are just some of the examples of the repression of the Bahrainis. Yet despite these human rights violations, the West, in particular the U.S. and its allies, have turned a blind eye to these violations, just like they have done when it comes to Saudi Arabia. Bahrain saw the so-called normalization as a way of strengthening its close relations with the U.S. and its position in Washington, especially among the pro-Israel community, in order to bolster American support for Bahrain and deflect criticism of the kingdom's human rights record. Bahrain also hosts the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet and U.S. Naval Forces Central Command. As such, it is well aware that the rights of Bahrainis is being violated, yet the U.S. chooses to do nothing about it. Israel is clearly the biggest beneficiary of the Abraham Accords. Israel's military is deepening its cooperation with the militaries of Bahrain and the UAE under the umbrella of the U.S. This was pretty evident when all four held their first naval exercise last November in the Red Sea. This all comes down to Israel further undercutting regional support for the Palestinians. Let's not forget, an American official who helped broker the Abraham Accords admitted that their entire aim was to isolate the Palestinians, to put them on, quote, an island. He said the plan was that if we get everybody around the Palestinians to recognize Israel, then where does that leave the Palestinians? They will have to come because they are on an island. 2 years after the Abraham Accords were signed, this is what it has brought Palestinians. Death, execution style.
Starting off this half with Nigeria, gunmen there have attacked a mosque in the country's north, killing at least a dozen, including the chief imam. Local residents in the town of Funtua in Katsina State say that a group of gunmen arrived at the mosque and started shooting sporadically, forcing worshippers to flee. The attackers then gathered many people and abducted them. Katsina police say state-backed vigilantes, with the support of some residents, have managed to rescue some worshippers. Armed gangs known as bandits regularly attack Nigerian communities where security is stretched. They either kill people or kidnap them for ransom. The gangs also demand villagers pay protection fees in order to be allowed to farm and harvest their crops. The United States suggesting it's ready to use military power to maintain its international dominance, which is being challenged by China. The Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin made the comment as the Pentagon unveiled its latest stealth bomber, the B-21 Raider. Austin said China has both the will and the power to reshape the U.S.-dominated international order. He warned, however, that Washington will not let that happen. Austin added that the U.S. is aligning its military budget to the China challenge. Washington and Beijing are locked in tensions over a host of issues, including what China calls the threat posed by the U.S. strategic shift to East Asia. Beijing also says it's ready to use its military strength to dash attempts to challenge its rising power. And as the war rages on in Ukraine, videos of Ukrainian war crimes against Russian troops continue to be released online, causing shock and anger in Russia. Johnny Miller reports.
Multiple videos have been released on Ukrainian Telegram channels. The most recent shows 11 Russian soldiers shot in the head after being detained. While both sides accuse each other of war crimes, Kiev is openly flaunting the crimes committed at the hands of its troops. At a press conference in Lugansk, a Russian soldier, Dmitry, recounts what happened when he was captured on the front line.
They ordered me to lie down, hands behind my back. One of them came up to me and hit my back with the handle of his machine gun. They put a bag on my head and waited for their commanders. In some time, the commander came, took the bag off my head, took me by the throat and started to cut my left hand with a knife. It's still functioning badly. He hit me in the teeth. And afterwards, when they took my machine gun from the vehicle, he asked if it was charged. I answered that it wasn't. He took the cartridge from it, clicked it, pointed at my leg and clicked. Nothing happened, because it was really not charged. He said I was lucky.
On the screen, gruesome images. Russian authorities say they have evidence of torture and a lack of provision of basic medical care, leading to unnecessary death.
Now, many of these atrocities are being ignored by media outlets in NATO countries, but Russian journalists, of course, are here, transmitting to a Russian audience, which means large parts of the Russian population are becoming increasingly angry at Ukraine and its NATO backers for atrocities committed against Russian soldiers.
The videos that show Russian prisoners of war being essentially murdered after they've surrendered have been posted by Ukrainian soldiers. These are videos taken by Ukrainian soldiers and then posted on the internet, essentially as a point of pride, in the belief that they are somehow another frightening or horrifying the Russians, who knows. But I also think there's another sinister dimension to this. I think there's an interest in Ukraine, particularly in Kiev or Kyiv, to ensure that there can be no negotiated settlement between Ukraine and Russia, not so much because of people in Kiev that might be willing to talk, but I think there's growing fear that Washington will ultimately abandon them.
As Russia continues to destroy energy infrastructure and kill Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines in Donbass, and as Ukraine continues to shell civilians in Donetsk and release videos of its war crimes, anger is reaching new heights on both sides, making peace an even more distant prospect. Johnny Miller, Donbass.
And that is for World News.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the limelight.
In response to the brutal crimes committed by the Zionist regime in the occupied Palestinian territories and the Gaza Strip, nearly 200 human rights organizations requested the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to investigate and condemn these crimes. The Zionist regime's outgoing Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, urged his allies to prevent the investigation of countless Israeli crimes against the oppressed Palestinians in the International Criminal Court, the ICC. We have taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story. The Israeli regime has turned to its global allies in desperation, urging them to help stop a Palestinian bid at the United Nations for an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, on the Tel Aviv regime's occupation of Palestinian territories. In a letter on Tuesday, 29th of November, the Zionist regime's Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, urged 50 heads of state, including those of the United Kingdom and France, to pressure the Palestinian Authority and prevent it from promoting a relevant resolution passed at the General Assembly in November. The resolution, approved by a United Nations committee, asked the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to urgently weigh in on Israel's prolonged occupation, settlement and annexation of the Palestinian territory, which it said were violating the Palestinian people's rights to self-determination. In his letter, Yair Lapid voiced concerns that the resolution could discredit the Israeli regime's security concerns and delegitimize its very existence. He added that the disputed territory status should be subject to direct negotiations between Israel and Palestine, claiming that bringing the matter before the International Court of Justice will only play into the hands of extremists. Meanwhile, a spokesman for the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said Yair Lapid's struggles were doomed to fail. Nabil Abu Rodeyna, a spokesman for Mahmoud Abbas, said, "We are confident world leaders who always stood by our just cause will not retreat from their positions." Moreover, the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Expatriates has urged the United Nations to adopt measures to protect the population of the occupied Palestinian territories from increased Israeli attacks. In a statement issued, the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs called to pressure the Israeli apartheid authorities in order to stop the violence of the Israeli army against Palestinian citizens, saying these violations amount to war crimes and are within the framework of the official escalation of Israeli aggression against our people and their rights. The website of Al-Haq has also covered the same story. The Al-Haq human rights organization and 197 Palestinian regional and international civil society organizations have called on the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to investigate Israeli crimes and for public condemnation amid an increase in Israeli regime's killings and continued aggression against Palestinians. Addressing the prosecutors of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, Karim Khan and the President of the Assembly of States Parties to the International Criminal Court, Sylvia Fernandez de Gourmandi, the organizations submitted a memorandum calling for public condemnation of Israel's classification of Palestinian civil society organizations as terrorism and calling on the Israeli regime to reverse its decision. The organizations demanded that the crimes committed by Israel during its unjustified military attack on the Gaza Strip in August of 2022 be included in the ongoing investigation into the situation in occupied Palestine. Moreover, they stressed the need to speed up the investigations, which should include crimes against humanity such as apartheid and persecution pursuant to Article 9 of the Rome Statute, as well as to issue proactive statements to prevent Israeli practices that may contribute to the continuation of war crimes in occupied Palestine. The organization called for taking appropriate measures to prevent and deter apartheid practices of the Israeli regime. Earlier in February, the head of Human Rights Group had said that Palestinians, whether they live in the Gaza Strip, eastern Al-Quds, or the rest of the occupied West Bank, or the rest of the occupied Palestinian territories, are treated as an inferior racial group and systematically deprived of their rights. Agnes Callamard said, "We found that Israel's cruel policies of segregation, dispossession, and exclusion across all the Palestinian territories under its control clearly amount to an apartheid regime. The international community has an obligation to act." The English website of Al Mayadeen television network has also covered the same story. The head of one of the 198 bodies told UN investigators recently that the Israeli decision to outlaw several Palestinian rights groups as terror organizations was like an execution designed to stop them from probing abuses. These designations and their consequences are now the focus of a series of public hearings sponsored by a high-level team of United Nations investigators exploring Israeli human rights violations. This form of a public hearing has only occurred twice before, one held in 2009 during an investigation also involving Israel. The hearings addressed the murder of Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Akleh. That happened in May, knowing that the findings of the UN United Nations Rights Office suggest that Abu Akleh was assassinated by the Israeli army. He said being designated Palestinian rights groups as terrorist organizations in October of 2021 was the culmination of that, characterizing it as like an execution aimed at preventing these organizations from investigating a wide range of human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories. But he insisted during the live-streamed event that we will not stop. We will continue fighting against the culture and the policy of impunity. Also, the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Expatriates urged the United Nations to adopt measures to protect the population of the occupied Palestinian territories from increased Israeli attacks. In a statement it issued, the Palestinian Foreign Affairs Ministry called to pressure Israeli apartheid authorities in order to stop the violence of the Israeli army against innocent Palestinians, saying these violations amount to war crimes and are within the framework of the official escalation of Israeli aggression against our people and their rights. Touching on the arrival of a new Israeli far-right cabinet headed by Benjamin Netanyahu, the statement warned of the hawkishness of such a cabinet. As Netanyahu proved to be extremely aggressive towards Palestinians in his previous terms in office. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry also said Netanyahu's allies are fascists with a markedly anti-Arab and a racist discourse. Palestine has been witnessing a sharp increase in coordinated and armed settler attacks on Palestinians under Israeli army protection. More than 400 Palestinian properties have been damaged in more than 500 attacks so far this year, until October of this year. It is worth mentioning that more than 250 illegal Israeli settlements have been built since the 1967 occupation of the Palestinian territories in the West Bank and eastern Al-Quds.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
هيهات مع ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبغ لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. هيهات ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك. Far be it from you, that is not what is expected of you, and that is not what is well known of your bounty. ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. Nor is it similar to the goodness and kindness you have shown to those who profess your oneness. In the previous episode, we discussed the kind embrace of the Almighty Allah and the fact that no prophet and imam expects Allah to treat him with chastisement, because the chastisement of the hereafter is nothing but the result of the human deeds. It is nothing but the result of denying the truth and being an enemy of the Almighty Allah. So, the one who tries to be Almighty Allah's favorite will not see this chastisement. Now, the Ahlul Bayt are the ones who have had self-purification. And this is what makes the Ahlul Bayt Allah's favorite. The Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, being purified from uncleanness, being endowed with good qualities, this is the reason for their being Allah's favorites. In the Holy Quran, Allah has praised them with their best quality, which is through purification and their access to the hidden truth. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. None shall touch it save the purified ones. So, the Ahlul Bayt are aware of the whole universe. They act in accordance with the divine decrees and the best deeds. Even this one that Imam Ali alayhi salam says. So I declare with certainty that were it not for what you have decreed concerning the chastisement of your deniers, فَبِالْيَقِينِ أَقْطَعْ لَوْلَا مَا حَكَمْتَ بِهِ مِنْ تَعْذِيبِ جَاهِدِكَ. This is what is known because Imam Ali alayhi salam is from among the favorites of the Almighty Allah. He is from among the Ahlul Bayt. So, due to their knowing of the hidden truth, the Ahlul Bayt are aware of these secrets in the universe, and they are aware of the best deeds, and they act accordingly. So, these features show that the favorite servants of the Almighty Allah, who have been trained and chosen directly by Allah, are the Ahlul Bayt. Self-purification, awareness of the hidden truth, and realization of Allah's commands have made the Ahlul Bayt Allah's favorites. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, the Holy Quran says. He loves those who purify themselves.
And how can the gods of hell threaten him when he calls out to you, my Lord? And how would you abandon him therein when he has faith in your grace to set him free? Alas, that is not the concept of you, nor has your grace such a reputation, nor does it resemble that which you have awarded by your kindness and generosity. To those who believe in your unity, I definitely conclude that had you not ordained punishment for those who disbelieved in you, and had you not decreed your enemies to remain in hell, you would have made hell cool and peaceful, and there would never have been an abode or place for anyone in it.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of Dua.
So, no prophet, no imam expects Allah to treat them with chastisement. We explained that the Ahlul Bayt were the favorites with Allah, and they even were favorites with the Holy Prophet, because he loved but what Allah loved. Salama has reported that one day Allah's Messenger was sitting at home. Fatima brought a small pot with a dish of flour in it. Allah's Messenger asked, "Where is Ali and his two sons?" Fatima answered, "They are at home." He said, "Tell them to come here." After some time, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Fatima were walking towards Allah's Messenger. As soon as he saw them, he took his cloak, which was on the bed, and covered them, saying, "Allahumma ha'ula'i ahlu bayti." O Allah, these are my household. فَأَذْهِبْ عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْسِ وَطَهِّرْهُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. So remove wickedness from them and make them a pure and perfect purification. At this time, Almighty Allah revealed the verse of purification. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah only desires to keep away uncleanness from you, O the people of household, and to purify you a thorough purification. Now, what I am meaning to tell you, dear listeners, is that obedience to Allah through the Ahlul Bayt, I mean, to put it in better words, obedience to Ahlul Bayt makes you Allah's favorite. So that you, just like the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophets, will not expect Allah to treat you with chastisement. Of course, we are all afraid of chastisement, but we do not expect Him to chastise us, because we believe in Him and we have professed to His oneness. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Guide me all the way to your Jannah, yeah, Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. British media have reported that high cost of living crisis in the UK has prompted people in some cities to eat pet food. Britain's face a collapse in living standards, higher bills, tax hikes, and increased unemployment as the economy slumps into recession. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted, British media reported recently that people were eating pet food because they can't afford real food anymore. According to the report, parts of Wales were hit so hard by poverty that people were forced to stoop to the lowest levels to just feed their families. It comes after new census data suggests six of Wales' most deprived communities are in Cardiff, the capital city of Wales. Last month, food costs rose again, with shop prices of groceries over 12% higher than a year before, according to the report. I'm still shocked by the fact that we have people who are eating pet food. Mark Seed, who runs a community food project in Trowbridge, East Cardiff, told the BBC, adding, "There are people who are trying to heat their food on a radiator or a candle."
Thank you.
Seed noted that nowadays British households that are struggling to survive could be found in areas beyond the regions that were long associated with poverty. He said to tackle the poverty, the government needed to change its policy to focus on people and not places. He said, Cardiff is a flourishing city. However, there are pockets of deprivation which are simply not acceptable. The charity officials say people were not being paid enough to afford the essentials as the cost of living crisis is pushing prices way up. Official government statistics indicate the UK's inflation rose to 41-year high of above 11%. The government continues to blame the Russia-Ukraine crisis and the COVID pandemic as the main factors behind the economic downturn. Meanwhile, Daily Mail wrote, the cost of living crisis in the UK is set to cripple Christmas, with millions cutting back on gifts or not buying them at all. As inflation hit its highest level in 41 years, amid fears it could peak around Christmas, households are expected to pare back their celebrations. Councils and businesses are also cutting festivities to save cash. Britons have decided they will buy no presents at all this year, with many concentrating on stockings and gifts for their children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews to ensure they don't miss out. The Christmas cutbacks will also be obvious in many homes, with some not buying a tree, putting up lights and asking for jumpers and slippers as presents so they can keep the heating off over the festive period. One emergency worker tweeted in this regard, that is the trouble, I am just not buying anything other than essentials at the moment, and our family have decided to do a secret Santa for Christmas present, so we all just have to buy one present and we'll receive one, up to the value of £30, exception for children, through. Another said, decided not doing presents, usually we do a secret Santa within the family, but this year, life is too stressful for that, and we are cutting costs. No cards either. I'll freeze a few bits for a nice Xmas lunch. That's be it. In the outside world, businesses have been axing Christmas parties for staff. Restaurants are also expected to close on Christmas Day and run reduced hours during the holidays due to the cost of heating, lighting and staffing the kitchen and the restaurant. Sarah Hall, founder of Waterlooville-based The Silk Purse Guild, said, we have already put our Christmas tree up so that it feels festive for as long as possible. The lights on it are solar powered as we can't afford to power them through the mains. My husband and I have bought each other a pair of fluffy sleepers each and that's it. We will be wearing them on Christmas Day to stave off the cold and watch movies all the day. I bought all of my Christmas presents in July and I knew that things were going to be difficult this year. We will be watching all the pennies and trying to get bargains from everything from the turkey to the Brussels sprouts. I work with hundreds of artisan businesses who are dependent on Christmas as they make gifts and it's going to be a brutally tough one for them all. The Financial Times also reported its key supplier WeButtrill and Son lost its entire flock of 18,000 birds to bird flu. They were encouraging customers to choose beef. Chris Godfrey of Godfrey's Butchers in Highbury, London, told the newspaper, "The situation is actually dire. We sell very premium quality, free-range animals that all live outside the rummage around. The intensive farms are not hit as badly in the sense they can have sealed barns," he said. "Orders are coming at a manic pace." Sainsbury's chief executive Simon Roberts said this month, "The good news is that about a third of our turkey volume comes from frozen, and we have ordered more turkeys this year than we sold last year. The teams will be working very hard to fill any gaps as far as we can," he added. "Although turkey remains a key part of our Christmas offer, increasingly customers are looking at other products. There has been a real move into beef in recent years. Fewer than half of households will be eating turkey, and all the trimmings at Christmas for the first time at Shoppers gobble up alternatives." Also, according to Financial Times, a shopkeeper said the restaurants all over the UK will be closed over Christmas or opening less to save money on heating and staff. She told reporters, "It's a worrying time. Price increases are thick and fast, and the more out of control it gets, the harder it is to run a business. We can't pass on all the increases we are paying, otherwise people will be paying in excess of £10 a pint, which is not sustainable or feasible given for many. That is a luxury item. We are trying to absorb cost where possible, but we are seeing suppliers pass on their entire price increases to us, which is unsustainable. It's impossible to predict. It could go higher, we don't know, but it feels out of control. Given Christmas was largely cancelled last year, it will be really interesting to see what people do and how people spend and save. We are seeing huge fluctuations. Bookings are up for Christmas because Christmas celebrations were cancelled last year. We are seeing Christmas happen later because of the World Cup, and we are seeing restaurants open for shorter hours, mainly due to heating and staffing cost. We're trying as a business to ride the wave, but for smaller businesses, there will be a lot of pain to come."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies: 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.